Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
It is Christmas Day. And I say to you all again, Merry Christmas. Today we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Today is also the last Friday of this year. It's interesting. I said, I came this morning to make sure the heating was turned on. And man said, isn't it on timer? And it took a minute to realize, actually, no, today's not Sunday. It's Friday. It's the last Friday of the year, but it's also the last day in our sermon series, Why Should She Be Here? Where we have looked at the stories of five women, five remarkable women in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. The previous four, we started with Tamar. Was it Tamar, right? Tamar, not Judah's Tamar. A couple of people said, yeah, but shouldn't it be Judah's Tamar? You know, not the other Tamar. And that was my issue, is I wanted us to talk about the other Tamar. And I actually said to somebody, you know, when she walked on earth, she was diminished. And even now we're still diminishing her. We're saying, well, she's not direct ancestry of Jesus. So, you know, let's just sweep her to one side. And so we talked to, it started with Tamar, then Rahab. We looked at the life of Bathsheba. Two weeks ago was Ruth. And today we're looking at Mary. That's Mary, the mother of Jesus, not Magdalene or any other Mary. You know, Mary was chosen by God, wasn't she? And we heard that in the scripture that was read just now. And so even though she was chosen by God, we ask the question, why should she be there? Why should somebody like Mary be in the ancestry of Jesus? Why would God consider her fit to be there? Did anybody hear about the Christmas star of 2020? A few people are like, So astronomers and, I don't know, the people who, stargazers, the star, I don't mean horoscope, as in you look at the stars, you know, whatever. Anyway, there's something called the Great Conjunction. The Great Conjunction. The Great Conjunction is when Saturn and Jupiter align. And when those two planets align, well, in relative to Earth, it glows really bright, and it occurs once every, whatever it is, 100 years. And so the scientists have figured out, well, they're guessing, they're theorizing that the Great Conjunction is probably what the shepherds saw, that great star, you know, because it doesn't happen often. And they saw this bright light that they had never seen before and never saw since. Obviously, it wouldn't occur in their lifetime. And so for those of us alive now to see it, next time it happens, this generation would have gone. You know, because it's every few hundred years or something, which I thought was really good. And they're calling it the Christmas star of 2020. Woo, great. One of my sons has decided he wants to study astrophysics. Not too many. No, he just wants to study Paw Patrol. It's one of his older brothers, and I'm immensely proud of him. I'm immensely proud of all my children, but this particular one just keeps blowing us away. And he's always been like that, even as a child, you know. I'd like to think he got some of that from me, but I don't know why that's funny. Anyway, listen, when I was a child, I remember we had this rhyming game, and this is going to resonate with some of you that we used to play. A game or a song, I'm not quite sure how you would put it. As you know, I spent, you know, parts of my childhood in various countries on various continents. So I know two versions of the song. The song or the game or the rhyme, I don't know, is called Who Stole the Cookie from the Cookie Jar? Who stole the cookie from the, yeah, some of you are showing your age. Yeah, that's right. And as a child, it was, you know, it was quite fun to play. But obviously as an adult, I realize, you know, there's this thing called the infinite loop motif. You know, you get your five children, you put them in a circle, you say, right, who's going to play who? And you can leave them there for 2 hours. Because this thing has no end. Who stole the cookie from the cookie jar? It's Frank. Who, me? Yes, you. Could it be? Then who? Who's the... Do you know? And we just go, and they just go around. And well, the other version I know, obviously my Nigerian heritage, in Nigeria, we didn't really have cookies. I mean, we had biscuits, not cookies, you know. But the version I know from that was, who stole the meat from the cooking pot? Because, you know, as a Nigerian, Nigerian children aren't really, listen, give me the meat, you know. So that's the Nigerian version. This song didn't have an end. Well, it ended when somebody got bored or they were tired of being accused of stealing the cookies or the meat. You know, the bit I remember the most is the who, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? You know, it stuck with me right through. And it was always great to call somebody's name, accusing them of being, you know, being the culprit. Who, you know, who, me? Then who? Couldn't be. Then who? Paul stole the cookie from the cookie jar. You know, I was perfectly happy to chant other people's names, but you know, they started calling my name. I mean, they did it the first time. I didn't mind. Second time, I didn't mind because you didn't have to necessarily go in a circle. Some people would just cut the circle and accuse the person. And particularly if I'd been chosen several times, you know, it's like Deji stole the cookie from the, who, me? Yes, you. And there were some times where they were, you know, the Deji stole the cookie from the cookie jar. And I say, who, me? They say, yes, you. And I say, why me? It's Paul's turn. Why me? I wasn't going to have that. Thinking about why me, and I remembered that, who, me? Yes, you. Why me? And what I used to do, thinking about Mary. You know, we learn from the Bible, this particular Mary, this young lady, is Jesus's mother. You know, the scripture shows her as a young girl in her teens, mid-teens, thereabouts, probably, just from the cultural, you know. She was a virgin. She was engaged to be married to a guy called Joseph. Joseph, had carpentry experience. He was good with his hands. And, you know, as much as it was in those days, and really it should be in our days, engagements were very, very serious things, very serious issues, not just between the couple, but between the both families. And engagements typically lasted a year before the couple were then married and began to live together. So something like sexual misconduct was not taken lightly at all. And in those days, the penalties ranged from, you know, I suppose quite severe consequences with shame and disgrace, divorce, right through to grave consequences with death, depending on you know, how seriously it had been judged to be. And so with that in mind, we read and we see that God chose Mary. God chose Mary. And we read, we know it because she's approached by Gabriel, the angel. He's a messenger from God. He's asked to do something that he asks her to do something that is actually humanly impossible. Gabriel asks Mary to do something that is biologically, humanly impossible. Remain a virgin and give birth. Say what? Remain a virgin and give birth. It sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? I mean, you know, to our, in our Christian minds, it's like we understand it, God can do it. But it actually sounds ludicrous. How does that make sense? And ladies, I'm sure if you were in those circumstances, you'd probably wonder how anybody came up with such a crazy plan. I mean, how's that supposed to work? You know, you might laugh. You might think, no, it's a practical joke. You know, okay, there's a hidden camera somewhere. Come on, where's the cameras? Gabe, for real? Are you kidding? But he wasn't kidding. And that's not how Mary responds. Mary doesn't ask why. She actually asks how. How is this going to happen? You know? And it's not the how. And it's not the how of doubt. It's not the how of disbelief. It's the how of seeking understanding. It's the how of inquiry, genuine inquiry. I mean, you know, she's a Jewish girl. She's heard the ancient prophecies about the Messiah being born. She knows this stuff is real. She knows it's going to happen at some point. But I don't actually think Bible doesn't say, but I don't think she understood the full gravity of what she was being called to do. There's a song by Ray Bolts called Mary, Did You Know? Do you know that song? Such a powerful song. Mary, did you know that your baby boy, you know, would one day walk on water? But it's that last line. When you kissed your little baby, did you know you kissed the face of God? And the Bible doesn't tell us that she truly understood what we understand today. However, as I said, she asked how. And the truth of it is, she didn't make it about herself. She stepped up. She stepped forward to what she had been called to. Her attitude was to see God's will done. It was. She put her pride in check. She put her insecurities in check. She got over herself. Mary showed incredible bravery, in my opinion, when she answers Gabriel. You know, I think it's verse 38. May your word to me be fulfilled, she said. The King James Version and New King James says, be it unto me according to your word. As you have said it, let it be so for me. For me, that's not just bravery, that's faith right there. That's a woman that's like, okay, you know what, God, let's do it. Let's go. Wonderful example. And let me tell you something else I discovered, something else I realized about Mary. The Bible tells us categorically that Jesus, we know Jesus endured shame for us, right? Is that right? Okay, a few people nodded. That's good enough for me. But what we don't often think about is that actually he was following the example of his mother. Because Mary endured shame. The Bible doesn't use those words, but she would have endured shame. She'd have been the subject of gossip for a long time. I mean, how would her friends have looked at her? How would the neighbors have looked at her? Particularly, you know, those months when she was still pregnant, she'd walk into a room and the conversation would silence. And then in the distance, you heard a dog bark. And the baby, neighbor's baby started crying. Wee, wee. Silence. And she said, what were you all talking about? Everybody says, all in one voice, nothing. Because that's what it would have been like for Mary. I'm sure she would at some point or other probably have wrestled internally, saying, what have I done? What's going on in my life? Is this it? And the thing is, it wasn't just Mary who bore the brunt of it. We don't see much. I mean, in the Luke account, it doesn't tell us very much about Joseph. But if you read it in Matthew, it tells us that Joseph himself wrestled. You know, he struggled with the idea of his wife. Well, his fiancée at the time, then his wife, being a virgin and pregnant. He had issues with it. You know, it describes, the book of Matthew describes Joseph as a good man, someone who didn't want to bring disgrace on Mary. He didn't want her to be stoned to death. But he struggled with the idea that had she really been faithful to him? He questioned it in his own mind. And if she had been faithful, how is she pregnant? How could this be? I mean, who wouldn't doubt Mary? Come on. You know, but thank God for mercy, because God sent an angel to Joseph and Joseph listened. And this angel was able to corroborate what Mary had said. You know, we don't even know how Mary found the courage to tell Joseph she was pregnant. Can you imagine how that conversation would have gone? Fiance, yes. I mean, I don't know what she would have called him. Hey, baby. I don't know. I mean, you know, different accent, obviously. There's something we need to talk. And Joseph's there, his heart's going, thinking, is this over? We need to talk. She says, it's really serious. Her face drops. My man's thinking, okay, what's going on? We've been engaged this time. What do you want to tell me? Imagine how that conversation would have gone. But you know, we see that courage in action. because of her willingness to be the servant of the Lord and to carry the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That's courage right there. It's easy to look at Mary and say, ah, that one that they gossiped about, just young girl, she didn't know what she was doing, this and that and the other thing. And then you start to drill into this and you put yourself in those shoes and you realize, you know what? She, like we say in Nigeria, she had liver. she was a bit tough. As I said a couple of Sundays ago, you know, the reason we worship Jesus is because he was a real man who really walked on this earth, who really died, who really rose again from the dead, who really ascended to heaven and really never died again. And how do we know it? Because there were witnesses, trusted, reliable witnesses who could corroborate this stuff, who could verify what happened. But you know what made Jesus all the more special? His ancestry, his genealogy. Him being a descendant right down through the lineage of David. And what we discover in his genealogy is not simply that he was human. When we look at it, we recognize that he was actually divine. He descended from a line of people that included very, very loyal, very able, and very strong women. Amen. And notice how the ladies answered first. Brothers, see me after church. You know, even when the culture of the day or that particular society didn't include females in genealogy, didn't. The faith of these women was so strong. Who they were stood out so much. They couldn't be ignored. They had to be written down. You know, their lives didn't conform with the socially accepted silence and relegation of their day. And through these women, God shows us that he is able to take people who are seemingly insignificant, seemingly unlikely, and turn them into unlikely heroes, transform them into important witnesses of power and his glory. You know, one thing is sure about God. His ways are not our ways. Absolutely not. You know, Tamar, really? Rahab, really? And these are the people in Jesus's ancestry. Rather than using the high and mighty, God chose to use lowly people to fulfill his plan for redemption. You know, and I believe that it's God's desire for us as Christ followers to show the rest of the world that nothing is impossible with God. As believers, nothing is impossible with God. Through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we must never forget that, like Mary, we too, in and of ourselves, without God, we will accomplish nothing. We must never forget that. When we think about the Christmas story, you know, we consider all the people, all the players, you know, think particularly in that nativity scene, you know, the stable, the strips of cloth, the swaddling clothes, the manger. We think about those who were present there, Mary, Joseph, of course, Jesus, the animals, the shepherds. You know, great, Joseph stayed by Mary's side through all the uncertainty around her pregnancy. He stayed by her side. And you know, the other interesting thing about Mary, yes, she was there to witness Jesus' first breath as his mother. But do you know she was also there to witness his last breath? Because scripture tells us she was at the foot of the cross. She was right there. You know, when you think about Mary and who she was, really, how different was she from you and me? How different? She was someone who people sometimes didn't like. People said stuff about her that wasn't nice. At certain points, she felt unworthy. She wondered, Lord, me? She went through difficulty. She's experienced rejection. As far as people were concerned, she had a past that was a bit dodgy. There was controversy surrounding her. She was the subject of plenty of rumors. How different is she from you and me? Jesus came to pay the price. He came to die for every single one of us. And as much as we celebrate his birth, should I tell you? All of that wasn't about him. The whole point, think about it. His birth was for his life for his death for his resurrection. But his resurrection was for you. It was for you. It was all for you. It was always, always being for you. And so if his resurrection is for you, you know, and his death was for you, and his life was for you, then his birth was for you. And if you think about it that way, the real reason for the season is you. You are the reason for the season. Because everything he did was for you. Mary was chosen by God, and even though the Bible doesn't say she did, I'm sure that if she asked God, why me? God would probably have answered, why not you? Why not? That's the reason she was there. And just in the same way, and I said just now, that you are the reason for the season. I can almost hear some of you in that nursery rhyme saying, who, me? Couldn't be. My answer to you is, then who?
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.